Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Let's get ready to rumble. And we've got football on our mind this afternoon, specifically Emerald football in the 2013 season. I tell you what, I've got Rob Gilchrist here with me, Jonathan Graves. And Rob had an interview with Coach Mack that we're going to play during the game. But are you, Rob Gilchrist, are you ready for some football?
I'm absolutely ready. I've been ready since the game ended last season in the first round. You know, I tell people every time a season ends, I'm just ready for August to come around. It's flown by, and we're a couple of weeks away from a home opener. It's always great to open the season at home against a great team in 96, and I'm just ready for football in general, especially Emerald football, getting back in the booth.
Getting back in the booth. Jonathan, what about you?
Well, once I got the text from Rob, it was probably, a late night, 1 a.m. It had to be like a Tuesday night, and it had to be sometime in June. I was like, yeah, it's definitely time to get back in that booth. And, you know, I know for Rob, the purple and gold runs deep in his veins, you know,
that it
him
does.
Being its alma mater. But, yeah, I'm definitely ready to get back in that booth and, you know, get up there with Rob Gilchrist, one of the best announcers, I'd say, in the upstate.
Well, there you go. I think we have one of the best, too. And as far as keeping up with the stats and keeping everything straight, Jonathan, you do a fantastic job.
I try to do my best. The stats is a difficult job to keep up with. And, you know, I'm in my lab every night, you know, before the game, just crunching the numbers away and just looking at all these, you know, great players that Emerald has to play against and then that's also on the Emerald team. And, you know, it's going to be an awesome season. You know, we've got a great group of guys returning. Lost a good group from last year, but like I said, I'm already in the lab crunching numbers, and I'm ready to get the season off and rolling.
Well, Rob, how does Coach Mack feel about the season so far, or what he's seen over the summer?
He's pretty optimistic. When I had my interview with him last Friday, you know, it was good to see him. I saw him a few times when I go up there to substitute at Emerald, which is always a lot of fun because I get to see the players and get and chat with them a good bit. But he seems optimistic. You know, he's just eyes ahead. He doesn't look behind him. And he's this guy, you know, what we did in the past is the past. Build from it. We've had 2 7-win seasons back-to-back, a great two-year stretch. He'd love to continue that. And with a lot of big games at home on this year's slate, he's just ready to go, and he likes the system and the new two-platoon system, which, for those of you who don't understand the football lingo, that means that nobody will be playing on both sides of the ball, and that's great, when, especially being in Class 3A now for our second year coming up. You know, everybody will be – fatigue will be somewhat of an issue, but not as much as it was in recent years and in the past – with, you know, guys like Abercrombie and Neal and Deal playing both sides of the ball, just wearing themselves out, just trying to stay in the game. But he's ready for that whole setup. He thinks that that's going to work out great. The summer's been going really well. He's seen a lot of promise out of the lines. The linebacking core is going to be real, real tight. Secondary kind of in question. But the offense, he thinks, will be the same as it has been, just really strong and up-tempo and ready to go.
Ready to go. Okay, now how many, Jonathan, how many returning people do we have on the team?
Not sure how many returning. I know that we lost 12 great seniors from last year's team.
And that's a big number.
It's not as big as it normally has been. I know one year, I think it was a couple of years ago, Rob, we lost 22 seniors from one team. And that really kind of devastated the program a little bit. We took a hard season that year, but I think, Ann, the best thing about this year's team is even though we lost some key seniors, I think that we still have the guys at the right skill positions to actually do some, you know, pretty good competition in the region.
Are you saying do some damage?
You know,
it's come on, let's talk some football.
Like I said, it's gonna be tough. Like I said, I don't want to jump to any conclusions. I make my preseason predictions when we get in the booth, but I'll go ahead and, you know, share it with you because we're on the show. We're on this great show with you. I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction that Wren is going to win the region this year.
Okay.
I know that's a really early preseason prediction, and I can take that back at any time.
You can take it. You can do a do-over.
Just to let the viewers know, I can take that back
at
any
back
time.
On his word.
It's
going to
be
Wren
and Daniel at the top. Those are two teams that I feel, with the addition of Kelly Bryant coming from Abbeville, he transferred to Wren, And I think that puts them really at the top. I mean, he's a great quarterback. Reminds me of a young Cam Newton. And I think that's going to vault Ran over Daniel this year. You've got Ran, Daniel in the second spot. And then you've got BHP in the third spot. And then Emerald's going to be in that same spot they were last year, fighting for that last playoff spot, that fourth position. I think they're right there in the same level with a Wahala, a Seneca. And I think it's going to come down, Ann, to that game on October 11th against Seneca. Just how it did last year. We went to Seneca, got into a shootout with Seneca, one of the best high school games I've ever seen. And honestly, I don't expect anything different. I think it's going to be another barn burner. I think it's going to be an old school Western shootout. And that's going to be the game that decides whether the Vikings get into the playoffs or not. So,
and that's a home game this year.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, that's the pink out game. And, you know, I think it. If you want to mark a game to come to on your calendar, that's the one you're going to have to come to, because in my estimation, that's going to determine whether we get into the playoffs or not.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. There's a your stats guy, Jonathan Graves.
I told you I've been in the lab already. I'm working hard.
He is checking it out and getting ready to rumble. Well, that sounds good. Now, Rob, what's your prediction here? I mean, we just got the stat guy, Jonathan Graves. Now, what do you think, Rob?
Well, you know, Jonathan, he's in his stats lab. I'm in my football cave week after week, day after day, just going through every bit of history from every team that we play, going through all the numbers. You know, I have a stack of 10 sheets of scores that I run through without taking a breath every time I do a recap. But, you know, like he said, the Seneca game last year was an absolute shootout. We were there. It was just unbelievable. We were down by a deficit. We fought back, and it was just back and forth. And you want to talk about fatigue on the players, there was broadcaster fatigue when that game was all said and done. I mean, me and Jonathan, we were thinking, are we going to even have voices come Saturday morning? Because we still got a couple more games to play. And that one is, I think that one will be the make or break playoff game. You look at the rest of our schedule, Wren, that's on the road. That's going to be a really tough test. I've been hearing from a lot of friends, a lot of fellow broadcasters saying that's a great venue. So that's always exciting to look forward to when you go on the road to a venue that is that people have on the top of their list, and that's Wren, a former 4A school, now a 3A with the Abbeville's Bryant on their squad now. Going to be a tough test. Come back against West Oak, think that'll be a good one. Early homecoming, usually we wait till October, but since we have two road games in the middle of that month, we had to move it up to late September, which is fine because we always have a great crowd at home in the friendly confines of Frank Hill Stadium. Then you look at Walhalla, we go to that one. You know, kind of been under the radar, been through some really rough years. We took care of business against them last year. The West Oak Walhalla duo weeks just absolutely took care of business on that one. Won big in both games. I think that'll continue. We come back for the Pink Out game for a great cause, the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Love seeing the students in their pink shirts, their bodies painted pink, and just going wild. And, you know, that'll be at home, and that's always a fun game. And like Jonathan said, I think it'll be a shootout again. These two teams just, you know, don't know each other, but after last year, they know what to expect now. And we go through that, then we go to another tough venue in Daniel. I think that one, you know, we came up short last year at home against them last year, and then we go against Palmetto. I think that'll be a big win. We've been there before. I believe 2 years ago we had our first-round playoff game when we were both Emerald and Palmetto in 2A. And we went to the wire with them, lost by, I believe, 7 points. I think it was 21-14. So we know about that team. I mean, that's the only school in our entire region that we know pretty well because we played them a couple times before in our past. And then, of course, BHP, we kind of ran out of gas against them going up there against Belton, at Belton last year. But I think it'll be another successful year. The new two-platoon system, I know I mentioned that a lot, but that's just going to be, I think it's going to work wonders for us. And we get the right games at home, we get the right games on the road to really test all the players. And, you know, I think we lost 12, and I believe the roster has about 45 players on it. And so that means we have about 33 returning guys, plus you add in, you know, the JV guys to fill in those 12 spots or more, depending on how much of a roster we can have in Class 3A.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, if you want to know what's happening at Emerald, you got to tune in on Friday nights. Emerald is right here on WCRS. Jonathan Graves and Rob Gilchrist will make sure that you get all the view through your mind through listening to them on the radio. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I have the dynamic duo of Emerald High School football. That's right. I've got Rob Gilchrist. I've got Jonathan Graves right here this afternoon. We're talking football, getting ready for the Emerald football season, which actually kicks off August 30th. 96 is coming over to Greenwood this time.
That's
so.
Right.
You know what I love about this? I guess, what is it, the first two games don't count?
Well, actually, the first three.
Three? So Abbeville doesn't count either.
A non-region game, thankfully. And, you know, we'll go right into the Golden Hurricane season with the Wren Golden Hurricanes. But luckily, the Abbeville game, because it's a black and blue game. I mean, it's, like I said, an old-time rivalry game. Abbeville is definitely upset. I've talked to a lot of their players and coaches over there from last season. They feel like Emerald really got after them last season and really brought it to them. Emerald usually doesn't dominate Abbeville the way they did last year. And I know
they snuck in there and did it, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's fresh in the back of their mind. And they're going to be coming out at Heights Stadium. They're going to be ready to go for that game. So that's a dangerous game on the schedule, but it's going to get us really good and ready for the region schedule to come that next game.
You know, the first year I was helping broadcast, you know, I was the color girl, and we won a couple or something right there at the beginning. I don't remember what year it was, but anyways, we won a couple, and I was like, wow, this is great. And then I was told, but they don't count, Ann. And I was just depressed. How can you play games that don't count?
And then it changed a little bit more, because now I think back when you were doing a little bit of color commentating, what, the first four or five games were non-region games.
Right. Split down the middle, first five were non-region, then went to region.
And it gave us a lot of time to kind of get prepared for those region games. But now, you know, they've changed this region. You've got more teams in your region now, so you only get three non-region games.
Okay.
So, you know, with a young team like Emerald, that could hurt a little bit. I mean, you've got to get these kids ready to play under the Friday night lights. And, you know, those non-region games, I look at them almost as extended scrimmages.
Yeah.
Especially like that 96 game. There's going to be so many mistakes on both sides of the ball from 96 and Emerald in that game that you really just look at that game, you kind of throw it out the window as a scrimmage game. And you're just hoping that you can kind of build some consistency in each of those non-region games as you lead into that first region game on September 20th.
Sure. So you were at the scrimmage the other night.
That's right.
How did Emerald do?
Well, let's get right into it. You know, breaking down Emerald, I look at them, and like Rob was saying, the offense is ready.
Okay.
I think they're ready to go. They've got the Logan Yates. He's basically the trigger man this year. And what's happened is I look for him to take that step that Robinson Sanders took a couple of years ago as a senior and really become the lead man on this offense. I think Logan can do some things now, not only with his feet, but now he's got the arm strength. He really worked on that part of his game in the offseason. And I'm seeing a lot from him in terms of his accuracy, especially with the deep ball. Hit a couple of long passes in that Greenwood scrimmage for touchdowns. And that
Wait a minute. They were up against Greenwood?
They went up against Greenwood.
Oh, my gosh. And they did good?
And they actually had some success.
Whoa, okay. Well, I have hope here then, right?
Yeah. Like I said, Logan did a great job in that game. Like I said, he's going to be really the trigger man. I think last year, It was really different because he had to almost look over his shoulder during the offseason with Jermoni Rhines as the backup quarterback, and they were kind of splitting the snaps last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, coming into the offseason, he's gotten all the snaps. He's gotten all the reps with the first team. He's ready to go. I mean, he's just a great kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and I think he's really going to take command of this offense. And I really look at the offense, and I'm seeing just the – the most skill I've ever seen in an Emerald offensive backfield. I mean, even with the loss of Abercrombie, I mean, that's just crazy to think like that. But you've got Quadarius Neal, who's the fullback, and he actually was the more complete back out of the two, out of him and Abercrombie. He was the more complete back. He would block. He did some blocking in the offensive backfield, and then he also did some pass catching. And then also you convert Mill Hackett from receiver back into a wing back. Mm-hmm. I think that gives you a lot of versatility on offense, because now Mill, not only are they going to put his hands, put the ball in his hands on handoffs, they're also going to split him out and get him out on some linebackers. And so that's going to allow them to exploit some defenses. And then also you have Justin Watson, who was converted from safety, and now he's into a slot running back. He's an athletic player. You've got Jay Parker. He was on that Westview team from a couple of years ago that went undefeated. He was the quarterback. I mean, you've got him in the offensive backfield. And not to mention, you've got pretty much the exact same offensive line that you had last year that was opening up those huge holes for Abercrombie's career year. The offense is set. It's ready to go. They're going to be putting up some major points. And really, it's a lot of pressure on them to produce this year and put up the amount of points that we're going to need to compete in some of these huge games that we've got coming up in the region. It's all going to fall on the defense, to me. I mean, you've got the two-platoon system. Sounds great in theory, but is the defense good enough to hold its own weight? You really don't have a lot of talent back there. You know, along the line, you're set. You've got Bruce Johnson, the Hulk, and then you've got Gage.
The Hulk is there? All right.
You've got Gage, Mr. Unstoppable, Cervenka, right there in the middle. So, you know, if you can, you know, get good, you know, penetration at the point of attack, that's a start. But then you lost so much in your linebacking group. You've mm-hmm. lost A.J. Gant, the Ryan's brothers, or the Ryan's cousins, they left. So, really, you've only got Shaq Wilson as one of the returning starters. And then in the secondary, it was decimated by graduation. You've got Daniel Adams, which was one of probably the best safeties ever to play through at Emerald. He was an All-Lakelands player. And then in the defensive backfield, you also lost Devontae Marshall, who was Mr. Primetime, probably one of the best athletes in the Lakelands area. You also lost Nathan Adams, which was a really heady player, a great cornerback for us. And like I said, the list just goes on and on in the secondary of people that we lost. So really, you're just turning over the entire defense with new players. And it's going to be up to them to see what happens. You go back to the scrimmage. You know, early on in that scrimmage, you know, they really got they got decimated. I mean, Greenwood and Greenville and Clinton really put it on them. And, you know, as the scrimmage went on, they got better. And I guess that's one of the positives you can take from that scrimmage if you're a defensive player. At least after they made a mistake, they were able to correct the mistake on either the next play or the next series. And that's exactly what they're going to have to do this year in the region schedule, because you've got some major big league offenses in that region with Wren, Daniel, and BHP. They're really going to put it on you, and you've got to be able to bring a consistent effort on each and every play in each and every series.
Now, Rob, let's see, just a real quick, what do you think about the loss of Abercrombie?
Well, you know, I mean, when you lose a player of a great stature like Abercrombie, and, you know, we were, you know, heavily relying on him, and he had such a tough upbringing as he went through high school. I mean, you know, I've been a part of this broadcast team since his freshman year back in 09 when I was, you know, worked as a sideline guy for most of the season. And I would just watch him, and I saw him get hurt that first year, and I knew he had a lot of promise. He was doing real well. And then went in the next year, 2010, when Jonathan and myself became the play-by-play and stats guy. He got hurt again that year. It was just tough to see, because he heard about so much promise during the off season, and he knew what he was capable of.
And didn't his mother not want him to play because she didn't want him to get hurt? Do I remember that story correctly?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, that's what everybody was like, you know, you're going against your mother's wishes. But he's like, I just want to play. I'm competitive. I try to be tough. And, you know, junior year, same story. I mean, all his first 3 years, he was on the injured list throughout a majority of all three seasons. Then his senior year, I think that's what also made Coach Mack decide last year, we know how talented this guy is, but we got to protect our, quote, golden goose. So I'm going to spread the ball around, give it to Mill, give it to Jamani, give it to Titus, give it to all these guys. But he's going to be that lead horse, that lead dog, leading us down the field. But he's got these guys supporting him. So in case he starts getting banged up or he's not having the game he knows he can have, we got these guys building up and ready to go, ready to step in for that spot. And that's kind of what our mindset was. But losing a guy like Abercrombie, really tough, but it's great to hear from Coach Mack and to read about how practices have been going, you know, about the offense just staying on track, you know, and it's true about Logan Yates with him, you know, being in the having to look over his shoulder at Jumaane last year. You know, when you're a senior quarterback, you know it's your team, so he has a lot on his shoulders. But with a year and a half under his belt, being a backup to Robinson a couple of years ago, he knows what needs to be done to get the job done.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, we're going to join South Carolina News in Progress. We'll be back with the one and only Jonathan Graves and Rob Gilchrist right here on WCRS.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm going to take a moment and just say, yes, I was just showing off my award to Jonathan and Rob here. Are you very impressed with my radio show of the year for the whole state of South Carolina?
That is impressive, and that just shows you how great of a show you've done here with Meet Me at the Diner. And I try to listen in every chance I get, and the Facebook posts, and just people from all facets of every level of business and government, and a lot of community people come in here to be on the show, and it's just always professional, it's always top of the line. And for a small station, a small AM station that no one's heard of, and this is why I tell people about the play-by-play, doing the play-by-play on this station, thank goodness for the internet age and the 21st century, because we've had listeners all over the country and across the ocean, all over the world.
Sure.
Tune in, I believe it was 2 years ago, we were on the road at Pendleton, and you informed me, this was right around Veterans Day, that an Emerald alum who graduated the year before me was stationed in Germany, heard through a friend, kind of word of mouth, that Emerald was on the radio, and we gave him a shout-out to him and his family out there in Germany, and that was just, that was baffling and just blew us away with the whole thing, just to know why this AM station's heard all over the place by everyone and anyone, and I know that really was a great boost for this station, and to be against such other big and small stations, as you said, during the break, and to get the award, I know has just got to be just
the pretty awesome, and it's the first time, they say it's very, very rare for a first-time entrant to win. Sweep the category. That's right. So with the Star Awards. But real quick, Jonathan, I'll let you say something. What'd you think here?
Well, I wish you would have shown it to us after, because I'm not sure why we're on the show now. We're on the best show in South Carolina. But no, it's just it's an honor to be on the show. It's an honor to be affiliated with WCRS, you know, as a play-by-play man. And like Rob was saying, I try to listen in any chance I get to Meet Me at the Diner, and it's well-deserved, definitely. Like I
said,
anytime I come in and check out the show, I mean, every time I always find out something new with some of your interviews that you do. The interviews are great. The people you bring in are awesome. And, you know, like I said, I'm just blessed to be a part of this show.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much. We appreciate y'all being here today.
Definitely.
But let's see. Should we play the interview that you did with Coach Mack, and then we can talk about some of the aspects of it? Would that be a good thing to do? I think we ought to do that now. That'll give us a little time to talk about it. And I know that Rob will not be able to stand it if he doesn't get to talk about, you know, Clemson, which just happens to be our other football station right here on WCRS. So without further ado, let me see if I can pull that up. This Rob, when did you do this? Last Friday or something?
It's a really quick scrimmage with a team from out of state. I think it was on the road, like many of them have been. And I was just able to find some time and sit down with him. First time I've seen him since the school year ended this past spring. And it was just great to talk to him, great to catch up, and just seeing his optimism for the upcoming season.
Absolutely. Well, here you go. Here's the interview with Rob and Coach Mack. You must remember, Coach Mack is a man of few words. Take it away.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rob Gilchrist here with the head football coach of Emerald High School, Coach Tim McMahon. Coach, what are your thoughts on last season's 7-4 finish and your first year in AAA?
Well, it was a fun season. We came up a couple of plays short from being even a better record than 7-4. A lot of the kids got better throughout the year. They competed hard every Friday, and we got a lot out of that football team.
With the graduation of the class of 2013 members, including star running back Oshamar Abercrombie, what do you see out of this season's returning players?
Well, we've got a number of good football players returning, on both sides of the football, particularly on offense. And, Logan Yates is coming back at quarterback, and Kadarius Neal is back at fullback, and Mel Hackett is going to move in from wide out to a wing, but he's got a lot of experience. And Justin Watson's doing a good job for us. So we return three starters up front. So we've got some pieces in place. We just got to find a few more. But defensively, we're returning a couple of good football players, Gage Cervinka, Onassis Williams, and Bruce Johnson are all returning on that defensive line. So, there's some pieces in place, but we just got to find a few more to fill in the puzzle.
What do you see coming out of the South Carolina High School League's recent proposed realignment that would move several area teams around? And are you for or against Emerald's possible move from Region 1 3A to Region 2 3A?
Well, that's a good question, Rob. Obviously, there's travel issues in either region. We have to travel. We have some trips that are 2+ hours on either region. I guess we would like to stay put for a while. We've been in, I think, 4 regions in 5 years now. That gets difficult every time we feel like we're getting familiar with our region members and our opponents. It seems like we change. So we'd like to stay put and develop some natural rivalries, but we don't have a whole lot of say in that. So we'll have to play whoever is on the schedule.
What's your take on the non-region teams, 96, Abbeville, and Ware Shoals, who have to load and reload their rosters coming into this 2013 campaign?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I haven't looked ahead too far. We're in preseason right here. We're just trying to get our football team ready to play. But and I know that 96 is returning a good bit of his squad and a very good football team. So I know they're loaded for bear down there. And Ware Shoals is, from what I remember, that they've got a really good running back coming back. I think he might have sustained an injury. I'm not sure where they'll be ready early, but they've made a lot of progress. And over at Abbeville, they've always got good football players.
What are your expectations for the 2013 season on a team standpoint and a schedule standpoint?
Well, the schedule's demanding. There's no doubt about it. We play a good non-region schedule. And like I said, 96 is a real good football team, and you got Abbeville playing for another state championship last year, and Ware Shoals has improved. And then you get into this region play, it's murder's row. We have some really good football programs in Region 1 3A. You can just start down through the Daniel and Seneca, BHP. Wren's a very good football program, so it's a tough region, no doubt about it. It's a very demanding schedule, but we're excited about it because we think we got a good football team to make it, and ought to make for some interesting Friday nights. So we're excited about this football team. Like I said, we've got a few pieces to put together. We're going to 2-platoon for the first time since my first year here. And my first year here with 2-platoon, because that's what I've always done, and probably didn't have the folks to do it by the end of the year. We wasn't 2-platooning, but we made that move to 2-platoon this year. And it's exciting for the kids because we've got 22 starters and a lot more kids available to play. The hurdle for us to get over is to make sure we can fill in all the pieces and get quality football players at all positions. And if we can get that done, I think we have a strong team when the gun goes off, particularly at the end of the season.
Thank you, Coach Mack. That was Coach Mack, head coach of the Emerald Vikings. This is Rob Gilchrist reporting for WCRS.
Well, there you go. So, Jonathan, you hadn't heard this. What did you think of what Rob asked him as far as the questions? And do you agree, concur with Coach Mack, or you have a different opinion here?
No, I think anytime you get an interview with Coach Mack, like Rob was saying, he's a man of few words. But the words he say are very significant, and I basically concur with everything that was on the interview. I think the main thing that I took away from the interview, and I mentioned it in the last segment, I think the offense is ready. You know, I think Logan Yates is ready to really make that next step as into a elite category of quarterbacks, and he's got a chance to really challenge for all Lakeland's team this year. I think he's that good of a player. I think he's that good of a quarterback. Like I said, the only question for me is the defense. I think up front, like Coach Mack was saying, we've got three guys on our base 3-4. Our down three linemen are set. You know, you got Cervenka, you've got Williams, and then also you have Bruce Johnson. But aside from that, there's nothing set in the back seven. I mean, and that's really my concern with the Emerald Vikings this year. If you have nothing really, you know, set in your defensive backfield and you're trying to do a two-platoon system, like Coach Mack was saying, you've got to have the quality of players on both sides of the ball. And right now the question for me is, do you have the enough quality on the defensive side of the ball in that linebacking core and that secondary core to really make a run in the region? That's the question, and we're going to find out on August 30th.
Absolutely. That's when it all begins. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back, and we'll probably let Rob talk a little bit about Clemson. Hold on! Don't you go away.
Everyone knows Sharp Facets Gallery only carries the finest in jewelry. But did you know we offer the three R's? Repairs, replacement, and restoration. Repairs from sizing to stone replacement. Restoration of your treasured pieces to their former beauty. Or revamping or restyling by resetting your stones in new mountings. All repairs are done by our master goldsmith, Richard. Only Sharp Facets Gallery can provide you with both quick turnaround and professional, reliable service. Come see us at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass or call 229-6613.
Well, I think one of the things we need to discuss is this summer weather that we've had, which has just been quite delightful. And when you start thinking about football here, I mean, this weather today gave you the idea that it's not very far away. What do you say, Rob?
Oh, yeah, I was talking to my folks this morning. We were outside walking the dogs and just enjoying after, you know, three quarters of the summer was just wet. You know,
right.
It rained, I think, 23 out of 30 days in the month of June, and July wouldn't make up its mind. Then we get into August, and
70 degrees right now outside, Rob. This is unbelievable for the middle of August.
And I told my folks, I was like, can I just have this for every Emerald game, home and away, and every Clemson home game, and I'll just be set. Cloudy, no rain, maybe a little drizzle.
I can go ahead and give you the answer, no.
No. Probably going to be a hot fall,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah, we didn't have a hot summer, so it'll probably be a hot fall. But what do you say about what did you think about, just pick out a couple of points now, Rob, so that we have some time left for Clemson. What do you think about what's happening with what Coach Mack said about the his interview there? Any particular points you'd like to expand on a little bit, or have we already really covered them?
Well, the points that I took from the interview, you got to really dissect it in the few words that Coach Mack gives you in each interview, which is just as we've been saying, what Coach Mack does. He's a man of few words, but he gets to the point. The ones that I picked out were how confident he was on the offensive side of the ball, and how, you know, wary but optimistic he was on the defensive side. You know, as we've been saying throughout the show, D-line seems pretty set, like the offense. But I think it's kind of whoever shows up and plays the best for the other positions at linebacker and in the secondary. I mean, we have guys that had backup experience and got to play against, you know, Ware Shoals, West Oak, Walhalla, the games where we kind of had the win in hand, to give themselves experience. We have the guys, but like he said, you know, we just got to, the puzzle's almost complete. We just got to put in a few more of those pieces. And I think, as Jonathan said, we got some great early tests. You know, 96, always a fun game. It's gone from being, we've had every type from blowouts to nail biters to right there in between with,
till the lights going out.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one? Yeah.
And Ware Shoals, you know, always a tough test. They're in their second year of the spread offense under Coach Abernathy. And Abbeville, always a friendly Highway 72 rivalry. You know, last year, first win in a few years against them. I know they, like Jonathan said, they got
you
that.
You don't think
their
they're going to let them do that this year, do you?
And going into Heights Stadium, you know, people ask me, you know, which game you're looking forward to the most. And I say, well, you know, first is always Abbeville, you know, 96. No disrespect to those two teams, but Abbeville, I mean, we just have a storied history with them. I mean, we've been playing them since
I'll never forget
the
first time. The first time I went to Abbeville and crawling up in the hole or the eagle's nest, whatever you want to call it up there. That's a pretty interesting place. And then the fact when the kids were yelling and screaming and they knocked me over in the fence and I was on the ground. Remember
that?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I don't think I was at that game.
I was there. I was standing with Ann, and you know, she was along our sideline and. She had her setup, her headphones and her mic, and she's like, hey, how are you guys feeling about this game? And it was kind of one-sided, but it was still fun to go. And the kids just leaning against this fence, and they just stuck in the ground because it's their old baseball field. And they just, this old, you know, wire fence, and they're just leaning against it. And even some of the kids in the front, I know, are getting grated like cheese up there on that front row. But they were telling them, pack up some. But they were just all in at the student section that we brought up there, up this Highway 72. And the next thing you know, the thing just
and
topples
Ann was on
over
the ground.
I
was wondering why they got a new fence there. So that's the story behind
right,
it.
Exactly.
That's the story.
That's
right
also
behind that.
That's also the game. I remember this very distinctly. When they got knocked off. That was that same night. They got knocked off, and they didn't know that they were off the air, our broadcasters, and I was just walking across the field to get in position, and they go, Ann, go ahead, call the game. I was like, hello? Remember that? And you were running to try to tell them they're not on the air. We've come a long way, baby, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've come a long way. But those are some of the fun things that you take away from the games. You know, one of the things, though, that we really, I think, need to address, we need audience fan participation at these home games. Now, going away on some of these away games, they're pretty far away. I understand that.
Yeah.
But we need home field fans in those seats, and not just for homecoming, the pink out, maybe senior night.
Right.
We need them there every time we have a home game. What do you say, Jonathan?
Oh, man, we had a great participation, I think, in that one game. I think, Daniel, man, Robbie, if you'll just – I reminisce back to that game almost every night. I mean, the stands were packed like it was 1998. I mean, we had the cowbells out. I hadn't seen those since the 90s. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fans really came out to support the team. That's when the team was really rolling there during the season. But yeah, we need them every game, and
right.
The kids really need them, and like I said, I think it just brings a different level of excitement at Frank Hill Stadium when those purple and gold fans are out there and they're showing their support for the Emerald Vikings. It's a stadium like none other. It's one of the best in the states, one of the best experiences in the states, and it's because of the fans, and we're going to need them this season going through that tough region schedule.
Not only that, you know, if you haven't been to a football game, you know, it's a nice-sized stadium.
It is.
Easy
yeah.
to get out of after the game, and I think that's a big consideration.
Definitely.
Once you're ready to go, you want to be able to go.
Yeah, and their sight lines are great. I mean, you get great seats. I mean, you can see everything, and you don't necessarily have to sit down the entire time. I mean,
right.
They've got some standing areas right behind the bleachers, and then they've got a hill. I mean, it's not a big hill. It's not Frank Hill, but it is a small size hill, and you can stand on it. You can watch the game from there. And, you know, I think that first game of the season, the 96 game, you'll get a great crowd because 96 always brings a great crowd from that little small town.
Do.
And, you know, like I said, we just need them for the region games. Those are the big ones. We need them for the games that you really don't expect the fans to show up for.
Right.
Those are the games where the kids are really going to need that participation, that support from the fans.
You know, there's nothing like being on the field and hearing the cheering going on. It does
That's
make
right.
a difference, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it gives you that sense of advantage. It gives you that great home field advantage. And in high school sports, whenever you're in the type of region the Emerald's in, you're looking for any advantage you can get at with some of these teams. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You're talking about a BHP coming in for senior night. I mean, they're already going to be jacked up because, I mean, it's their last game of the season. Who knows if they could be possibly fighting for a playoff spot. They're going to be looking for any type of motivation. And Emerald's kids, we need that advantage. I mean, we saw it going on the road last year to some of these great spots, and they bring out their fans, and hopefully Emerald's fans, the ones that did come to those road games, were able to see that. hopefully they can drum up some support for us, and you know, we can get that home field advantage that we so desperately need.
Absolutely. I just wanted to bring that up because I think sometimes people don't think it's that important, but it is that important to the whole school.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Come out and support the team, be a part of the booster club. And like I said, think about all those proceeds that you're, paying in terms of for tickets and concessions and things like that, that's going back towards the school to make the kids better, so to make the athletic program better. So it's not just all about the game. It's a little bit more impactful than that, I guess is the word I would use.
Be a sponsor. That's right. Be a sponsor of your team by buying tickets. And here's another thing you can do. If you're a business out there, I tell you what, you will get so much back on your sponsorships, because listening on the radio and having great broadcasters really makes a difference. And I tell you what, you guys are dedicated to Emerald High football. So kudos to you. And I tell you what, if you'd like to see about a sponsorship, how about give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. I think he's got two or three spots left. So give us a call today and get in on some of the best advertising you can do for your business. It's football. And now, Rob.
Yes. We've reached that point in the show.
You've got 2 minutes. We can now talk about Clemson, because we also broadcast Clemson right here on WCRS. So what have you got to say about how Clemson's going to do this year?
I think it's going to be another great season. You know, I was fortunate to go to the home games last year. And, I know the game against Carolina was a real tough one to take, four in a row to our rivals. A tough pill to swallow, as anyone would say. But we stayed positive. We fought through it. Had some great games, went to the wire with Florida State down there in Tallahassee. Now we get them at home, which is always fun. A team we've beaten at Death Valley every year since 2001, I believe. But we've got a lot of optimism. We're just ready to go. Taj Boyd ready to lead this team, much like Logan Yates. And I see Emerald and Clemson kind of in the same boat. Offense is set and ready to go. Defense, they've got holes to fill with both squads. That's why I always like about covering these two teams and watch these two teams, is the similarities in their process and buildup. But, after the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which I was fortunate to go to with my folks down there in Atlanta on New Year's Eve, just down to the wire, I was just frantic as all get out. We got the game-winning field goal by Catanzaro, just a clutch kicker. I'm just ready to go August 30th. It's going to be a busy weekend, but a fun weekend for this crew, with the Emerald opener on August 30th, the Clemson season opener on Saturday night on the 31st.
And who's playing?
It'll be Clemson against Georgia.
There you go. Everybody's excited. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Rob Gilchrist, Jonathan Graves, thanks for coming out here. It's been a fun afternoon.
It has been.
Absolutely. Yes, it has. Go Emerald! Hey, we're ready to play some football. It's coming up in just 2 weeks, right? That's right. So whether it's Emerald or Clemson or a combination of both, you can hear it all right here on WCRS. That's 1450 AM on your radio dial. And don't forget, we're streaming Emerald games at WCRS1450AM.net. So check that out. Also have apps available to your cell phone. So check all that out right there at WCRS1450AM.net. That's going to do it for us. Take it away. It's time for news.